Okay, welcome to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, June 17th, 2026, 7 p.m. Wasatch County Services Building Conference Room B. First item on the agenda is public comment for any items that are not on the agenda. Here's one of the making comments.
Yes.
Okay.
Stephanie Grady, Daniel Town Council. And I just wanted to read a letter today that was posted by KPCW in an interview with Dustin Rubeau, the county manager. And it's concerning the Maverick Bach line that they're proposing, or they're pushing through, and Daniel's canyon. So I'm going to just read the letter. I was hoping that there'd be more people here today because there is going to be a meeting at the county, and there's talking about July 1st. So anyway, so Wasatch County is pushing back on attempts to bring line into Daniel's canyon. The county is asking the court to toss out its approval. After a court-ordered public hearing in April, Maverick Rock was allowed to move forward with mining in Daniel's canyon. County manager Dustin Rubeau said Wasatch County filed a challenge of the decision with the Utah Court of Appeals June 10th. Meanwhile, it also has to comply with the state mandated next steps that move the project forward. Maverick mines limestone and shale about 40 miles away in Goshen, a Utah County town. The company says it can bring operations to 426 acres of land along U.S. Highway 40. Based on a Utah law that lets companies bypass the typical public planning process required of new mines. Instead, a company can expand its mining rights into the new area if it has enough structural similarities to and shared history with its existing mine. Now, I drive up there 3 or 4 times a week, and I have not seen them do any exploration or any core drilling or anything. But that doesn't mean that they haven't, but I haven't seen it. And I'm in the mining industry, so I'm... Instead, a company can expand its mining rights into the new area. Okay, I've already said that. The owner said they could open a mine on Main Street in Heber if there was the same mineral deposit. And there's nothing Heber City or Wasatch County or any other entity could do to stop them, Gravo said on KPCW's Local News Hour June 16th. That is exactly the type of abuse in the state code that we don't feel like was intended by the legislator. Gravo said the appeal could set a precedent to prevent similar situations. The county, he said, has obtained records showing Maverick intends to mine at additional sites in Wasatch County and Saratoga Springs under the new law. Maverick Rock first announced plans to expand into Wasatch County in February of 2025. The county attorney's office denied its request, sending the dispute to 4th District Court, which ruled in the company's favor. Maverick has since submitted its operations plan to the county. The county then sought public feedback and nobody showed up. It also hired professionals to suggest measures to mitigate environmental, transportation, safety, and air and water quality concerns. Daniel Town, this is where it hits us, has a wellhead immediately adjacent to this that is a major source of drinking water for the town. And so we have a lot of concerns about what a mine would do if they were to contaminate or dewater that area, Rubeau said. The county now must schedule another public hearing before the end of July. And so they're talking about the public hearing being July 1st. If anybody's interested, I can take your email if you guys want me to keep you in the loop on what time it is or anything. I'd be happy to do that. And because I'll definitely get up to speak in opposition, and hopefully the county prevails. So
I'll add to that. I have submitted emails to the county, mm-hmm. and the county has responded. Maybe it was similar to you, and they basically said, "Take it to the state."
And so I did.
I haven't heard back from the state.
Because I emailed Dustin back and I said, maybe you should put this out on Facebook and let them know what they need to do instead of going down a rabbit hole. And so not stop making it so difficult for people.
Sure.
So that's what I said.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I've emailed the state and I have not heard back from the governor or legislation. So, and I don't think that we've heard anything about any of their mitigation plans or anything.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Nope.
So
Thank you.
I would hope that everybody goes to that meeting.
Thank you. We'll move to, are there any other comments from anyone? Okay, we'll move to item two, to summary of the council meeting, and you've got that in your packet. I'm just going to go over really quick if you have any questions. There was a hearing held for the Airbnb at on Cobble Creek Lane. There's going to bear findings and conclusions, and anyway, I'm not sure exactly where, I thought they were going to work with the owner to sign a document. Is that true or not?
I don't believe that they are. I don't think they can get to a consensus.
Okay. So I guess that one will still be watched. Council approved the zone change for that triangle, that 1 acre triangle that we recommended last month. They adopted the irrigated fields. As the order of the wildland urban interface for the town and it offered the floor. They accepted these amendments that we sent to them and then approved budget agendas and then set the public hearing for the other zone change. The commercial one on 3000 South that we dealt with last year. They issued some new business license and they requested that the Planning Commission research the town code regarding buffer zones, and that is on our agenda. Anybody have any questions? Item number three is new business licenses, and Justin Davis could not be here, so he requested that he wait until next month. Yeah, he's got them. They're all his businesses. Okay. Let's move to item four, which is the conditional use permit for Geneva Rock. And before we start, I'd just like to say that after our last meeting, I left pretty unsettled about this. And it took me a couple of days to realize why. And I think the problem I have is we were telling them specifically how to mitigate the noise when we're not the experts. And the public was saying, we have the noise and we need it mitigated. But I think we go wrong when we say, you need to do it by doing this. I would rather deal with the outcome. I just know throughout my career when somebody said, I want this and I want you to do it this way, it was never the best solution. Now, there are times that you do need to require to do it a certain way, but when it comes to something like noise, none of us are experts. So I think what we want to do is what results do we want, not what specific things do we want them to do that we think will meet those results, because we could ask them to do something that's really expensive, really stupid, and does nothing. So I think, you know, I like the 57 decibels. You guys vote tonight, but that was just my 2 cents worth. Since I won't be voting, I'll at least let you know how I did. Anyone from the here that would like to speak at this point?
I better speak. I think our, the Bill Gamble and Geneva Rock, our Our main, I would say our biggest concern with the last motion that was made was that the words "all means necessary" to mitigate noise, and it's like, because it's, just typing it out, like, I put, "due to the open-endedness of the condition, it also makes it impossible to comply with. The ambiguity creates a situation where you can't invest millions of dollars into a site without clearly defining a process in order to comply." So like that's our problem, is it was so ambiguous that we can't come up with a way to comply when it's like all means necessary. Well, somebody could come in and say, well, you're not doing this, or you're not doing that, and you're not, you know, covering it with purple paint, because that might work. You know, it's like you can just, it becomes so open-ended that it's like, well, okay, we fix that one, and then it's like, okay, well, there's another means, and we fix that one, and it's like, okay, well, we have a condition in the permit that says 57 decibels. That's a scientific engineered analysis. Like, can't we just comply with that? So that was our biggest heartburn about it. And the 20-foot wall just seems like, hey, 15 feet is good, 5 feet must be better, so let's do it. And it's like, that one doesn't even concern me as much, simply because it's like, hey, I can get a tape measure out, I can go out there, I can measure it. If it's 20 feet tall, I comply, I check the box. I think it's like completely irresponsible to build a 20-foot wall, frankly. Freeway sound walls are 12 to 15 feet tall. 20 feet is like excessive. I mean, but that's my opinion. And I'm like, okay, if that's what everybody wants, we'll do it to appease it. I just don't think it's in the best interest of the town to have a 20-foot high screening wall out there. Furthermore, they're in the industrial zone of the town code, chapter 8, verse 13, section 4, says that you should screen the outdoor storage of anything at a minimum of 6 feet and a maximum of 8 feet. And so it's like, okay, well, you have a town code that says these standards, and then, like, I get conditions are getting put on this to mitigate the impact, but it's like, you know, there's a standard written in the code and we're going above and beyond it, but it's like, hey, we're not like twice the standard, we're more than twice the standard in height-wise. And it's like, geez, I'm like, I still stand by what I say of like, we'll do it. Like, we're willing to put the money into it if that's what everybody thinks is the best thing for the town. I just don't think it's the best thing for the town, frankly. It's gonna be like, wow, that thing is like a tower over there. But if that's what we wanna do, then we're happy to do it, I guess. So, but we had proposed, and you can see in the conditions, of like, I think what the crowd, the public was saying was that we don't like the loud banging. How do we mitigate the loud banging? I think that's what the commission was attempting to do with the "all means necessary to reduce noise." So like we just draft in that document that you see there, instead of like "all means necessary," we said, "Geneva Rock will train the loader operators to not overextend the dumping of a bucket to reduce the loud banging. If overextending is required for operational needs, then rubber cushions shall be installed." So it's like, I feel like that's a much more definable condition that like, hey, we can have a training log, we can train our people, we can prove that we do that, and then if we absolutely have to bang the bucket, then we'll install these rubber cushions that mitigate that noise. And then you still have the assurance of, hey, you're gonna have to meet the 57 decibels too. So it is getting into the like, hey, here's the means and methods of complying with the 57. And it's like, okay, we'll do that, but ultimately the 57 is the control. And so it's like how we get there is really on us. And the blower, the next one up from that, it's like, we'll do it, you know, but I mean, it was already a part of our way to get to the 57 decibels is to put these sound walls in front of the blowers and other sources of noise. So it's like, sure, we can ride it out in the conditional use permit, we don't have any heartburn with that because we are already planning on doing that because we won't comply with the 57 if we don't do it. So it's like, it is some redundancy in the sound, but, you know, if it makes everybody feel better that we have the written out condition, we are going to do it already, so. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, I think you guys can all appreciate, like, we're spinning, and yeah, we're a big company, like, we've been around, I get it, but it's like, we're not going to, we won't be satisfied with a permit that we can't comply with. And it's like, the draft permit was something that we couldn't comply with, and so it's like, we're not done here until we have something that's written out that's clear for you guys to enforce, and it's clear for us to obey and follow. And so that's ultimately what the back and forth and the sound study and all this process that we've gone through is like, hey, get to a place where we can know exactly what we need to do to comply, and then we can do that, and you guys know exactly what you need to enforce us to comply. But the ambiguity is a challenge for us, and this proposal, I think, helps get rid of the ambiguity, but still protects what I think everybody's intent of the conditions were. So that's my comment on this, I guess.
Thank you.
I kind of agree. I think we'll be sorry if we have a 20-foot wall back there. It's gonna look like, I mean, yeah, I'd like to keep people out, but I don't know if we need a southern border type wall to protect ourselves from what's going on the other side. Just an observation, because I'm usually outside most of the day and I'm a ways away from this, but just listening to noises around, and there's a lot of noises. And it seems like everybody's offended with everyone else's noises, but theirs are okay. But I have specifically listened from like 5 in the morning on, you know, with the windows open in my house for that banging of the buckets. I have not heard it in the last month and a half. So I am wondering if CMC listened during the public hearing and knew that was a problem and solved it. If they did, that's great. And it's also good for you because we know it can be solved. But I literally have not heard it. I asked my wife if she's heard it. She said no. So I wish some of the other neighbors were here, but probably been a side effect of the discussions that we have. So you've got my thoughts that we should have down the results that we want, but I really think that we're going to cause problems by saying this is how we want you to do it, because it then limits the options for fixing it. And if they do what we tell them to do and it doesn't fix it,
yeah,
you know, that's on us.
I agree. Yeah, we don't want to. I think it kind of opens the door for the whole town to micromanage your operation, you know. And I think that, yeah, I think it's a bit ridiculous. I was looking at some insulated fencing just online recently, and I noticed a bunch that they're using for water parks that are like 12 feet tall, and they're not concrete. But I think there's other options out there that, you know, you guys could look at instead of a 20-foot concrete tower. Yeah, I don't know. I think you guys have done what's been asked of you, and I think you can probably keep it below your levels.
I agree. A while back, Byron Horner and I went over and drove around in the adjacent properties. And while if I lived in those properties, I would probably feel that the threat of excessive noise was almost unavoidable. I think the answer to that problem, as well as a lot of the other discussion that's going on, as you mentioned, is to hang a lot of this on the 57 decibel limit. the other thing, the most visible and arguably most effective piece of all these things that we have asked you to do is that 20-foot berm. And while maybe the extra 5 foot doesn't make a lot of difference, I would comply with that part. The ability to somehow muffle all of the equipment sounds, some of which will be more evident in certain parts of the day, is impossible. First of all of those modifications, we'll call them, would have to work. And I don't think that's possible. So as others have said, I think we need to go on. I think you have made substantial efforts to comply with our requests. And the indefinite word like all or forever, or that doesn't work. So I would say that we move forward and allow you folks to, I would judge you as having complied for certainly the general direction of what we have asked, and often a great deal more than that. So I would approve this personally.
Okay, what we have is probably not what we want to approve, correct?
Well, do we want to address the, do we want to address the 20 feet versus another height?
I think so.
Because I feel totally confident with the original 15 feet. I don't know how everyone else feels, but an additional 5 feet of concrete isn't sightly. And how much is it actually going to mitigate? I'm not sure.
How does everyone else feel about that?
I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, they're proposing that it's just a 10-foot wall and a 10-foot berm. It's not a 20-foot wall, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's a 20-foot combination.
20-foot combination.
And you think that's too high? That's
yeah,
what
so
they propose.
I mean, the wall, I mean, the top 10 feet will be concrete, kind of towering up in there. So, I really don't care at this point how high you put it. It's just, you guys are going to have to live with that in your town for the rest of
time,
our existence and beyond. So, I honestly, I'm just trying to comply with what you guys want us to do. And if that's what you want us to do, so be it. If that's not what you want us to do, so be it.
And the draft that we're looking at is what you proposed, correct?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, we've been going back and forth with your council, and the 20-foot thing is, like, we've kind of conceded to it at this point, I guess. We're like, at least that one we can measure, and we can comply. The other stuff we can. So, I mean, in an effort to get this permit across the finish line after 2 years, we're finally like, whatever.
Yeah.
The 5 feet that it's going to cost us to add it, if that's what the town wants, that's what the town gets at this point. So.
Okay, I still have the opinion that 20-foot high walls are going to be an eyesore.
I agree.
Over there.
I agree.
So I'd just like to point out that if you look at that silo, it's 75 feet high. The other buildings are 50 foot high. 20 foot is not out of line.
But it's right on the road.
Well, it's right on the edge of the property.
Right.
So it's a lot closer.
And that's who you heard from was the residents that lived close. That was in the meeting. I don't think that's out of line. I think 20 foot, if they agree to that, I think that you should 10 foot of berm, 10 foot of wall is not out of line.
Paint a smiley face on it.
We are thinking Geneva Dock.
With a smiley face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we, anybody?
I mean, like, you could put a condition that it's like not less than 15, but 20 at the discretion, and it's like, we can go pull the pole up in the air out there, but it's just like, man, I think by the time you get out there and see what 20 feet's gonna look like, it's like, wow, that's, it's gonna be tall.
Right, and the question is it going to block any more sound?
Well, it does block some of the sound, that's the thing, is like, I can't sit here and argue that it's not, like, it's gonna block some of the sound, but we've seen in those sound models, the sound kind of flows over it, kind of like wraps around it, and then eventually it gets past it, so it's like, it does mitigate some noise, but it's like 1 decibel is what we've seen in the model, so it's like, we're having to do different things to mitigate the noise at the plant. The wall just hasn't been enough of an impact to make it a solution. So, at least that's what the model's shown. You know, we haven't gone out and built it, but those models, in theory, are capturing what it will happen. And so we see there is a decrease right next to the wall, but then as you go out 200 yards away from it, that sound's traveling over the wall and catching that area. And so raising it will help, but it's like negligible in my mind. According to the engineered sound model that we've done, it doesn't change it significantly. Masking the noise at the source does change it significantly.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Someone specifically requested a 20-foot wall in the past, or was that just back and forth through the dialogue here?
It was just
in the public hearing.
It was thrown out, and
a 20-foot wall was thrown out, or it was
a 20-foot combination of berm and wall.
Yeah.
And so that's my only reason for saying, yeah, maybe we should, is that's stick appeasing around. The people that were here that.
I'm good with this proposed revision. If this is it.
That's it.
Yeah.
I see we.
I think that there needs to be another item added to this, and I think you need to review this CUB and every CUB you do. I think you need to set it up for annual review so it comes back before you, see how we did, find out what was going on. This one will come back to you because of the different conditions. They have to come back to you to get approved. But I think every CUP you pass should have a review. Sunset date that they come back and it's reviewed.
Not that it matters directly for the sake of this proposal, but did you gain access to the site yet? You have a road, you have frontage, you have a way in?
Well, yeah, there's a dedicated public road in the entire north boundary of the property from the plat. So there's one. Then there's a private access and utility easement that hooks into Airport Road. We've done a traffic impact study at the request of Heber City, since we're not driving on any of the town of Daniels roads. The traffic impact study shows that there's no improvements required. And so there is still a visual line of sight that we're completing with the traffic impact study so that we can legally get access to Airport Road, but it's like an engineering analysis that's being done right now.
Got it.
Thanks.
Okay, is there a consensus that we leave it 20 feet, or does anyone still want to?
I think we leave it
to 15. I mean, I still just give by, but that's just my opinion.
Is there any scientific data to support that 5 feet makes a difference?
Yeah.
Sound wise, you said
about a decibel.
It's. I mean, in the map, it's literally 1 decibel, and it goes for 15 feet, and then you're back to the higher decibel. You know, and it's like, so that's why I'm like, I can't sit in there and argue that there's not some mitigation to sound, because it would help sound, but it would help sound for somebody that's like adjacent to the wall.
Not somebody that's a mile away.
Yeah.
But adjacent to the wall,
or
I don't know how far it is still industrial zone.
industrial group outside the wall.
So basically, we're not helping anything in the residential area by adding a 5 feet wall other than just what happened.
That's, it might be a few decibels.
No, not even a few. It's very negligible. I don't think it's a few decibels.
I know we can get gusts of 70, 80 miles an hour out of Big Hollow and across there. And I just wonder what effect that wall will have on.
What's your highest piece of equipment? Those 15, they go under a 14.3 bridge or not?
I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't necessarily have measurements. Like a loader with its bucket clear up in the air is probably about 15 feet tall, I guess.
The average cement truck?
I mean, the trucks are like, our ready-mix trucks are 11 feet.
Okay.
And so it's like, the loader's going to be able to dump it into the top of the dump truck, which, so it's probably...
The thought I have on the height is just not seeing equipment moving around versus potentially seeing it.
Yeah, I believe 15 feet does that.
I mean, it's like if the topography to the south sloped up, it's like you're going to see it, but it's like it's fairly flat coming to the south. It's like you'd have to be pretty high, I guess, to see over a 15-foot wall if you're at the same elevation. And it's like CMC's, it's like, I don't know, we're arguing over this wall, and it's like, you've got the floor that's growing at CMC, and so it's like, well, they build an 8-foot berm, but then they go into their property and they go in 100 feet and it's 20 feet, you know, it's 5 feet higher, 6 feet higher, you know, it swells, the ground swells. Now it's like you're looking at the operation, and you've got this berm, and then the operation's up, and it's like that's the real problem. It's not the height of the wall, it's that they built up their site so much that now you can see it over the berm. So it's like, there's just so many ways to skin the cat, right? It's like, I think either way, a 15-foot wall is sufficient to height quite a bit.
Would a 15-foot wall be any less of an eyesore in the obvious sense than a 20-foot one?
I don't think so.
I can go with either one in that sense.
Public that was here, they were not happy with what's going on presently, so they're trying to mitigate that with you guys because of what's already going on. Unfortunately, you're getting a little bit of the wrath of that, but I thought they were pretty focused on, they thought that would make a difference, but that might be also their opinion. I mean, but they do live right there.
And my thing again is, rather than tell them how they have to do
maybe
it.
Maybe just conform to the 57.
They got to do the 57, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the all possible modifications can stay there. We just need to make sure that the wording is acceptable to both parties.
All possible modifications. That's a very vague. I don't know.
I'm getting rid of that.
Yeah, I mean, back to your point, Gary, I think that we can't enforce all possible means. We can't enforce decibels. So I personally think, I mean, I agree with omitting that.
Well, I don't think we want to, say, maybe Geneva Rock will minimize high decibel banging and so forth to mitigate sounds from internal equipment. And I don't know that we even want to say blowers because we want all the equipment
they're going to have to do the blowers. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, it just...
We're micromanaging there.
And I think the 57 decibels encompasses all of that.
And I don't know, I don't really care about engineering plans. All we really care is the results. Now, if it's something that deals with building code or something like that, then yeah, that's required anyway. But I think we're just micromanaging again, at least the planning commission, with those engineering plans, and none of us are qualified to make a judgment on them.
Yeah, so why waste the time and money necessary to do that?
We already have in here that they do Geneva Rock must perform a sound study of models or equipment that we use with the plant and must generate a plan to mitigate noise which shall not exceed an average of 57 decibels.
Right.
It's already in there. So let's say, for example, if a 15-foot wall, you put it up, you're doing your business, and all of a sudden you make a measurement and it's 100. You're going to have to do something to fix that. I don't know what that'll look like, but something. It might not.
That's
correct on that?
That's you keep reading on the next one.
Right, follow-up sound study.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what we want.
That's what we want.
We want results. We don't legislate how.
Because I think you said it well that I don't know how you'll do it, but I'm sure this is not your first rodeo.
It's the first time I've ever seen a town require this much sound.
So much?
In an industrial zone. But it's like
we had public input.
Not the first
try.
All of our places have public input. I'm just saying, like, we've got the analysis to do it. Let's go do it, and then if we don't meet 57,
then it's back to the drawing board.
We have to do more things. It's already in there that we'll have to.
Yeah, you have to go back and say, why are we exceeding 57?
And what's it coming from?
Let's do a recommendation.
The way it's written,
here's the land use item. It stops right here. So what you have in front of you is right what you guys have drafted, right, with the attorneys? And so...
So you want to what? Make a motion?
Permit draft?
Like I said, there's only one item that I would add, and that's a review of the CUP. I think that you guys as the board should be reviewing every one of those, at least annually.
Is that for, like, because, I mean, you guys can review us every day of the week, right?
Right, but they're the authority granting your CUP, and I think it should come back to them for a review. If they want to change the code for a CUP, say something's not working, or something's, on the other hand, something's working and they don't think it needs to be in there, they can change the code for that. They make the recommendation to the council to change the code. And so without doing a review, they're passing CUPs and then we never look at it again. Did it work? We don't know. We're getting complaints. But if it comes back for review, then they're able to look at the things that worked, the things that didn't work, the things maybe we don't need to regulate. And so as a CUP, I think that you guys...
Is that legal to do that?
You bet. Conditional use.
At this point, though, we have no code that tells us how we would do that, how it would be implemented. So to put this in at the last minute, I'm 100% against it. Even though it does make sense, I don't think we have our act together enough to be able to do it.
And I do think the biggest issue, and I know that we're talking about more than just sound,
right.
You're talking about more than just sound, but I think our biggest issue right now is sound, and that's clearly stated that it needs to be followed up and upheld.
Yeah, you'll see this one back with the landscape plan. There's several things coming back to you guys already, but I just think that review should, on every CUP you guys issue, should have a review date on it.
Like I said, I don't disagree at all, but we don't have any code at this point to support it. And then writing that after we've done it, I'm not comfortable with that. We should put it down as an agenda item, and we should do that in the future, but we should be ready to do it when we decide it. And I don't think we're ready.
It's up to you guys.
Just my opinion.
Could I motion to approve the proposal for the conditional use permit received from Geneva Rock.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right, any discussion? Okay, call for the vote.
20 feet, 15 feet, what is it?
As proposed.
It's currently as proposed, 20.
McGee and I.
Long, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Jones, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Did you have a second?
Hey.
Who is next?
See you soon.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you and Daniel.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We appreciate all the hard work.
So are we.
Can't wait to see you again, man.
All right. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll miss you next time.
Okay. Number five. Concept plan.
That's this.
Yeah, we got representative here.
It's these three.
In case you have questions, Warren?
My name is Jeremy Avalon. Represent the application moving forward with this. We have a site, we have a few concepts, but essentially this is our site design. We have kind of some multi-use, different applications for the site. I believe you, yeah, you guys all have diagrams for fits. We do have other concepts that we can go back and forth on, but essentially we're just showing the proof of what conceptually can move forward here and what can work. We have discussions with UDOT and putting in a turn-in location here for the site. We do meet the standards for a light to be installed at this location, the distances from other stoplights to the north and south of the site.
Another stoplight on 40?
Absolutely.
Keeping it safe and slow.
It's not safe.
So where is this exactly on 40? I don't see any cross streets or anything.
It's right below.
This one right here, so it's the better.
It's right below little.
Houston property.
Yeah.
And Lisa Houston's property.
Is it down the highway?
Part of the reason for the light is everything has granite plants for the other side.
Yeah.
So the Mark Harrelson parcel's right.
It's right below Little Street.
Just south of that.
Right here. Little Sweet.
Corner.
Little Sweet's right.
Yeah.
Anything I can see is there's going to be another exit required because the road going through may never happen.
No, it's on.
This direction.
I didn't follow that, Gary. What road are you talking about?
If you look at the road.
Oh.
That comes in off the highway.
Yep.
And then it heads north. Is that north? No, east. No, west.
It's west.
No, that's south left.
Whatever.
Yeah, good. So, at least at this point, that's not going to go anywhere. And I accept the fire department, but the fire department will require another access.
There's hammerhead options, there's turnabout. With this being more commercial, you know, there's flexibility with the parking locations. We do have plan for, you know, green space around the perimeters and incorporating that to help sees it, the side of it.
So what kind of buildings are we talking about?
These could be like flex use storage, individual rentals, not rentals, sorry.
Not storage either.
Not storage. But there's also a commercial application for it, storefront, and, being on the road ramp for public use.
Pardon my ignorance, what are these notations here?
We have different sets of meters. Those are just road markers, so distances in reference for engineering, so that they...
961 feet total.
We can measure and reference, if there's a diagram or a cross-section that's needed, they can reference it on that plan and specify where that location is. Because if you just said somewhere along that public road, we want to specify if there's utilities or, cross-sections that are going to be required there.
How many acres is this parcel that we're talking about?
26 and a half.
26 and a half? I mean, I saw 21, I'm like, oh, that's pretty big.
It's 21, and then when you add Ed and Lisa Houston's parcel on, it brings it to 26.
26
and a half.
Thank you.
So you'll see on lot 6 that they've got drawn in, not necessarily, there will be, but there's a gas station drawn in there.
Yeah, the users that we've already been talking to that we're getting down the road with do include a convenience store operator, one of the larger ones. There's also a hotel that we've been talking to, as well as office users and retail users.
Lot 6 is the gas station, I would assume?
Yeah.
It's going to be lot 10. 6. Or, yeah,
6.
Right at the interchange, yeah. Advantage of the light.
And again, this is all concept. Nothing. They don't have anything. They're just talking.
Do you have comments or thoughts?
They will have additional requirements along the back west side because they're up against residential. So there'll be the 821 code of the Daniel code will apply to that area as that runs up against those residential properties.
And the 26 acres is already commercial. We're not rezoning, or are we?
No, it's been zoned commercial, okay. But it's just that okay. Up against there.
So
they will
basically
have
west and south is residential.
Just south?
I said there's some south. It's kind of hard because we're all...
like JKT LLC. That's RA5 right now, right?
Yeah, all three of those properties on the south.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you go southeast, it's more commercial.
Yeah, like it's all...
Here, east end is right here.
Yeah, this is all residential.
Yeah. And then you hear the north tower, plenty of rush power on the same ship.
And they did try to work with Heber Power to work this in to move this future use in the back, but Heber Power didn't want to talk to them, so.
Yeah.
That's why the concept comes to you at this point.
If I remember, that's still RA5 that Heber Power owns, right?
It is, yep.
What is their plan with that?
They indicated to us it'll be a substation.
Oh, nice. That'd be pretty.
We tried to move it a little bit for you, but they said no. We gave them an option to kind of tuck it away, but.
So it's just a concept for the subdivision. That's what before you tonight is the application for concept subdivision. And with that is application for the town to apply to UDOT for that intersection that this ties into. So it's in our long range plan, our highway corridor preservation agreement that we have with the county, UDOT, Heber City, Wasatch County, they've all signed on to that, and so that application process will happen. The town will initiate that, and that gives them points further along to put this in. And so we've talked with Independence across the road, and they have a couple of different options where they want the road, but wherever we put it, that's where they're going to use it, so. And we had to get special permission for this road to go in. The distance wasn't there, and the Region 4 director gave us special permission. We had to apply to that.
Quite a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was not for this development, but it was for.
Right. We had just identified where those lights could be. And so that was, that's why we did that, so the preservation for those areas would take place. So I bet when this thing goes in, I'll bet we have willing participants on both sides participating in that intersection, so. But the first step is concept.
Step one.
Not for those guys, but for us.
Anywhere else.
We've got lots, so.
We've got lots.
He's on the step.
Have any more questions or comments?
Nope.
Nope.
Not for me.
All right, anything else you wanted to share?
No, we are flexible. We want to work with the community. We are open to recommendations or, you know, what do we want to see down there? This is going to be, you know, good tax base for the city, and we want to kind of utilize it for the most, to help the city and to also help future tenants here. So to make it.
Nice restaurant would be good, maybe.
For them, for access.
And work in the field.
And work for this.
I'm cool with that.
And the citizens, because it's not more great.
Restaurant.
Closer, you don't have to go so far.
Two dozen coffee shops for some reason, but we don't have a good restaurant.
Thank you. Okay, the next.
Gary, can you see a motion for concept approval?
Oh, sure.
Gary, I will motion for concept approval for Alpine DevCom.
I'll second.
Okay, call for vote.
McGinn, yes.
Long, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Jones, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Yep.
A little rusty on my first vote. I said McGinn.
Hey, let's look at the maps.
He said yes.
This is for our.
It's like, I like I.
General plan of the project. Yeah. So we talked about wildfire hazard earlier. Looks like Mary Jolene included that on the back.
You guys see here?
Yeah.
Somebody looking at it? I just looked at the state's wildfire plan. So, yeah, here on the hill, it's red. But that's really not, I guess it does deal with the general plan is going to have to deal with that.
Will now.
Yeah. Then we have the map with the water-related land uses, which just basically shows what's developed and what's not.
Develop water? Or develop buildings?
Water-related land use. Develop means there's a house or a building there. So, for example, there may be a house on a 10-acre property. An acre where the house is red, the rest of it.
Yeah. The school's there and it's all red.
Yeah, because it's developed.
Already developed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's showing.
So basically, green is it's agricultural water use.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of.
And this is an engineering firm putting this together for us, so.
Yeah.
But if there's something on there that you guys see that maybe you wouldn't want to be in, included in our general plan, the one that you mainly need to be looking at is the proposed annexation maps. Because if it's not in our 20-year plan, it's not available for us to annex. So as we redo the general plan, that needs to be, that area is redefined.
I guess I'm wondering why.
Well, no, that's future land use, that's an annexation map.
On the water related, I'm wondering why there's two properties that are white. White says Daniel Border, but, so.
Yeah, you mean over on Crazy Acres?
Everywhere, spots.
I don't know who lives there now, but where Deegan used to live is white. And then there's Charles Schultz, this is white.
Because they have well rights, right? They're on wells.
Yeah, but there's lots of others that are on wells that are red.
There is.
In fact, there's others in that subdivision that are on the same well that are red.
Yep.
So with this, well, in this case, the house is red, they're showing no agricultural water, so anyway, we can redo that. We have the urban wildlife interface area.
We're gonna have trails, we're gonna have a trail network in Daniel.
Yeah.
Through your backyard, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna raise your taxes for it.
That's okay, it'd be nice.
So we've met with the trails committee.
I'll believe when I see it, but it'd be nice.
And so we've identified some trailheads that we don't have a lot of parking or infrastructure for trail, but what we do have is connectivity through our town onto different ones. So 3000 South is on the county plan for the bike path. And so we have a few of those areas, Big Hollow trailhead. So we have a few of those. We've met with them and identified some potential other areas that they'll be able to access. So really the southern boundary on that hillside is really hard to access because of the private property. So the Trails Committee is nonprofit here in the valley, and they are approaching owners and trying to get easements into those areas for trails. And then they do mitigation. They'll do on the trail, they'll do mitigation for weeds. They're the ones that do all that. All that mitigation is that nonprofit. So they're the ones that do a lot of the maintenance on the trail system. So we met with Don and Mia.
And they said they had permission from the county to use the gravel pit area for parking for a trailhead. They just didn't know where they could put the trail at this point.
Yeah.
So like, nowhere to park, but not where to go. Don't you park?
Park and look around the driveway.
So it's big. The other new developments on the east side all have interlocking trail systems that's going around. So it's a big thing right now. The trails are a big thing. So
yeah.
As we go through this with this engineering, remember we got a grant for this. So we're doing all this upgrade to our general plan through this grant. I think we had to pay $5,000. Was our share of that grant. They're doing Charleston as there's four of us in the valley anyway that teamed up on that, so we can use the same outfit and get all this work done. So
cool.
But just be aware of those, the future land use map, that's one that should concern you guys.
Yeah.
What are we doing in our town? Where's it headed? Is that what you want to see? They're building these things to what we tell them to build them to. So if there's something on there you don't agree with, let's get it out and get it, the map fixed, but to make it relate to your general plan.
On the proposed annexation one, is there any reason Charleston or Independence wouldn't be part of proposed annexation in the future?
In ours?
Yeah.
Because now they're a town proper, so we can't annex
county
into their property. They have to actually de-annex, go back into the county, and then be. So you'd have to add that to your 20-year plan for that to be eligible to annex in.
Yeah.
And so you'll see on the future land use plan, there's two areas. Those are still county.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so those are included in our proposed annexation plan.
So, I mean, hypothetically, what would have to happen in order to annex those in?
We just need an application. Everything's application-driven, right? So if somebody in one of those areas wanted to annex into the town of Daniel, they would apply for that. And then we would go through the process. You guys would make a recommendation to council. That's a legislative action. So then they have, that goes before the council, and they use your recommendation and vote on that.
It's a lot of land.
So I'm just going to suggest, and hopefully this is okay with Eric, but if you see things that might be suspect or you think ought to be changed, just email Eric at his town email account. Is that okay, Eric?
Yep. Yeah, any feedback you got, we welcome it. These guys, like you said, they're working for you guys, so that's what they're doing here. So
we should see it again before it's, well, we will see it again before it's first approved. We have to go through that process.
Yeah, and it'll be part of your general plan update, so.
This future land use, the green there, that's up into the mountain, right?
Uh-huh.
Is that already owned by the town?
It is not.
No.
It's private. That's what I thought.
So they've actually approached us about annexing that property, but they wanted to develop it, and we couldn't. The slope's above 30%. So in our preliminary meetings with that group, they're like, they wanted us to change our code, and we're just like, no, 30%'s where we're at. So
how many owners are involved with the majority of that hill? How many owners are involved? Like two or three?
No, there's probably seven or eight.
Yeah, at least. I mean, the state of Utah, DNR owns some. I mean,
there's a trail. Hiking, mountain biking trail right there.
That's where I ride my horses, man.
Is it?
Got permission, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's right across the street, but it's inaccessible.
Yeah, so anything on there you guys see, if there's something you know of a trail you want, we tried to get them to put one around the airport. They didn't like that, but. But yeah, anything on those maps that you see that we want to address before this gets in our general plan, it's much easier to address it now, holding a public hearing after we adopt it, go back through that whole process. So if there's something you guys see, review it, look at it. I mentioned last month that the floodplain's out for a comment right now with the new boundary, so. It did for public comment, but they're still taking a municipal.
Oh, okay.
So if there's something that you guys see that we don't, I haven't seen anything, but if you guys see something, get it to us so we can get that. Because I'm sure that that's going to be adopted. They're going to ask the town council to adopt that floodplain, and then that will be our new standard.
You know what my concern was?
Yeah.
They haven't looked at quite.
Yeah, and we have a new. We have a new subdivision that's going in that's been proposed down at the end of Southfield Road, back against the south on that mountain. And what they're showing is a 50-foot setback in their plans. And our engineers caught that, and it's like, no, it's not from the center of stream 50 foot, it's from the high water mark 50 foot. So they're re-looking at those floodplain areas in that area. But in a lot of instances, the new floodplain map, it increases the distance of the debris flow. So hopefully that keeps us from having a major catastrophe. I know the people that own them don't think that that's, you know, I want to build here, I don't care. It's like, yeah. Everybody says that until it's flowing down the stream.
Yeah.
Then it's the town's fault.
That's somebody else's fault.
And I just had an issue because they show the water crossing a ditch that's 6 foot wide and 6 foot deep, but not going down the ditch. It just comes across the property. And I'm like, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be the person at the end of the ditch that's going to get all that water.
Yeah.
So on the Culinary Water District, the gray area, it says on the future Daniel water, is that we're going to find water there or build a water plant, or is that people wanting it?
So that area there is under well, a lot of that is under air. But the reason that it's speaking to that is because Twin Creek services that section of road on the other side. So that's still open on this side. That is actually, that triangle is their service area. So unless they expand their service area, the grade would be future for Daniel Municipal Water.
Expanding their service area.
Right, they're a special service district, so they would have to expand that area.
And your thoughts to connect both of the water systems, and if you did that, then it would make sense to add water service, I would think. But I don't know.
Yeah, there was a point in time when Twin Creeks was talking about turning that over to the town of Daniel. And it got to the point where we asked, well, what debt do they owe? Because we would have to assume that debt. And they never did get us back with a number, because they built a new tank, and then they built all new line in there, and then they assessed a lien on all the properties. So when those properties sell, they're gonna owe, it's a chunk of change, some of them are $40,000.
Wow.
And so, they were condemned, right? The water system was condemned, they couldn't. And so they approached us, we're like, we're in no position to do that. We can't put out all that money, and then, I mean, the same system we're in right now is going, hey, we don't have millions of dollars to go put in a tank and build this system that 35 people are on, right?
Yeah.
$40,000 each. So they did that, they had the overhead, and they did that, and that's why that became part of their service area, is they put that in. But they never did come back with the debt ratio, so we didn't take that over.
Okay, let's move to number 7.
This little paper is an idea, just so you guys can have somewhere to start.
And I guess the only time buffer zones really come into play is with the storage units, and that ended up being a deed restriction. And so that deed restriction is whatever it was. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I think what the council is looking for is a definition of a buffer zone, more than the actual code for it. They want a definition. What is the buffer zone? Because that's really what came up, right?
Well, yeah, but that's not what we called it. I mean, it may be what we called it, but that's not what the deed restriction is called or talks about it being. And they're on a case-by-case basis, so.
They are. But
I mean, I'm fine with this definition, but there's nothing in the code that talks about creating buffer zones or doing anything with them.
Very well written proposed definition of that.
So this point is whatever you can find in the dictionary.
It works well.
Somebody did some work to find that.
But we really do need to come up with a definition to plug into our code. So
use this one.
Once we put it in there, that we're able to go to that and look at a definition.
We could put it in as a definition, but then we also need the code around it to explain when it gets used, how it gets used.
Almost all of those will come with a development agreement. So you'll hardly ever see that in just out in a code buffer zone, because it's a condition of a unit, right?
Right.
Something red flag, right?
So the question is, do we want to have a definition and we say you need a buffer zone, and then that definition limits what the buffer zone is, or do we continue with the deed restrictions like we have, where they're written on a case-by-case basis?
Well, I think even with the deed restriction, I still think we need this definition, because we don't have it in our definitions. And so when they come before the council, they say, well, what is a buffer zone? Well, we don't have the definition we can point to. Everybody thinks they know what a buffer zone is, right? But it's not the same. You don't think what he thinks, or she thinks, or I think. I'm just like, it's a buffer zone, you can't do anything in it. It's a buffer zone. That's not what turned out to be in that case, right?
Yeah, but the deed restriction never used the term buffer zone, that got.
Right, it was on the maps, but it wasn't in the, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So that's why it's here, we're looking at that council's asked for you to come up with a definition.
If a buffer zone exceeds a certain amount of area, acreage or something, does it become something else?
Does it have a size limitation?
No.
For instance?
No, it wouldn't have. Take a development agreement on the hillside that they've sold their development rights, right? That same thing, it's a buffer zone now. no development can happen within, there's thousands of acres of open space.
Is it a buffer zone, or is it a...
Conservation?
Conservation easement?
Is it, yeah.
Is it rural residential?
I don't think so. I think residential, I can see a couple of things that would fit in residential, that you could possibly have. State code, a few years back, you couldn't have a feed yard, right?
Couldn't have a what?
A feed yard. That would be something you'd have to have a buffer zone around for a feed yard. Well, the legislature said if it's residential agricultural, you can't regulate a feed yard. So they've taken that away from you, right? We get our authority from the state. State gives us our authority. We don't have any. That's where we get it from. So they take that away, and that's why we're always up against the legislature on everything they do, is because they've given us the power to do things. They take it back as we talk about these residential units inside, you know, they took that UA. We had a conditional use, they took that away. It is a use now in a residential zone, an accessory dwelling structure. We can still curb what can happen there and how big they can be, but there's limitations. They are a use, so we had to take that out of our conditional use and make that in the use pile, because the legislature said that, trying to fix the housing problem. And I mean, that's just one thing. There's water, I mean, there's land. They keep talking about taking zoning back to fix the housing problem and zoning from the state. I mean, we get this every year, so it's big, but that's just, it is what it is. That's where we get our authority, so that's what we have to do with.
Okay. Everyone like this definition?
I love it.
What about it?
Ian, yes.
Seems a little wordy.
I think it has to be.
Chop it up in or not.
I like the wordiness.
The more the buffer is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes away more.
More options it has, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, somebody will try and get in between the definitions.
Yeah, and I don't know that we need, I just think adverse impacts. I don't think we need to spell it out. The adverse impacts are something you guys are going to decide. What is this impact on these neighbors? I mean, that's a great list, but I don't think we need to spell it out in the definition. You guys are going to decide what is that. It could just be site, right? A commercial use next to residential impacts.
Okay, so you're just saying get rid of the such as?
Yeah.
So everything after
somebody
such
wants
as?
A challenge if they
adverse
have a challenge.
Impacts, period.
Yeah, adverse impacts, because that leaves you open to flooding. I mean,
of course, it should anyway with flood. Such as. It's not saying that that's inclusive.
Right, right.
So I actually like it being there because it gives you some ideas.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have thought about it until I smelled it.
That's the first thing we look at, right? Dust, noise, smoke, and odor. Those are the four that's in our code. We look at that on every application. Vibrations comes a little bit in the same code a little bit later, but those things we all look at in every one of them. So
yeah.
That's what I worry that if you start spelling it out here.
Well, but we're just saying.
But such as. Yeah, it's not.
But I think we're okay with that.
I still like it. Again, yes. Yeah, do we need a motion on this?
Yep.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the buffer zone.
Recommendation to council.
A recommendation to council to adopt this here buffer zone definition. Do I need to read it?
Nah. I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Again, yes.
Long, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Jones, yes.
Sir, yes.
Mm-hmm. Carries. Okay, let's look at the final report. Do you have any questions?
How many ag building permits do you get a month?
Usually three or four a month, depending. Some of the folks they want a barn, but then that's not the use they want. So
yeah.
Then it changes to an accessory structure, because to do what they want to do in that barn, they have to change. change that, but, and that's why we end up incurring costs on these ag buildings, because we run them through our engineering office to get them on the spreadsheet to follow. But the problem that happens is they build the ag barn, no plumbing, no electrical.
And then they add.
All ag. And then, oh, wait, we need lights. Now it'd be nice to have a tap. So we've ran them, we're tracking. They're costing the town a little bit of money to do that, because we've added them to that list. So when that application comes in for a electrical inspection, they have to go to Heber Power and get the notice from Heber Power to put the power in. And then we have to inspect that utility as it's installed. And our engineering's like, well, we didn't even know there was a barn there. So that's why we've included them in. For a while, I was just issuing them out of my office without including them, because I'm way cheaper than an engineering office. It just didn't work out to catch up. Then I'm back looking for plans, trying to bring engineering up, because the site plan's there, right? That's what we're using for the setbacks and all the uses in there. So it costs us a little bit, but we do get quite a few.
So if you have an ag building and you want to add power to it, you'd need to apply for a
electrical permit.
Electrical permit.
Yeah. And typically the only thing that we do on that as a town, you guys should probably know this because people are going to ask you those kinds of things, is we pay the inspector fees is what we're doing. We're not making money on that. We're just covering our inspection fees from the inspector as we do that. Now, Heber Power, that's not the case. You're going to pay an impact fee.
Yeah.
And they're
and they're substantial.
Yes.
Yeah.
We look pretty good after they get done.
Yeah. Cool.
Who are the Rileys?
What's that?
Riley at the bottom there.
Oh, yeah. I've misplaced one.
Overnight noise of loud music, possibly nightly or event.
Yeah, so that's the one that we talked about at the start in the council. Gary read in the council report. So we had the hearing, and that's at the lawyer's office. So.
Yeah. They've been renting that as an Airbnb for several years.
Where is it?
Big Hollow Road, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, just straight east of the gravel pit.
It's a big house, they have wedding. I think I actually saw it online.
Yeah.
Like the listing for it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And is the listing still up or did it get pulled?
So the listing's still up, but it's showing 30 days after in for 30 days. However, the listing for Cobble Creek Ranch, outside of the listing for that, they have their own listing that doesn't show 30 days. That's why it's at the attorney's.
And what's the status of the 3000 South Miller Road legal?
The lawyer's letter went out to that. They did not respond. They didn't request a hearing. So what happens to those is we now will go before an administrative law judge, or we'll have them cited, and they'll have to go before a law judge, before a certificate judge, and explain why.
So what do we need to do to?
So do they have to remove the trailer or double whatever that thing is?
Yeah, they'll have to remove it. And that was the demand that they wanted to do.
Has there been any complaints about the number of people that live there?
There has been, but I can't substantiate it.
So they got a guy living in a trailer in the back. They've had a porta potty.
There's been a porta potty there all year, and again, a porta potty is not proof that somebody's living there, right?
No,
you can put one in your backyard.
What about all the propane tanks in the backyard blow up half the town?
Well, and because I went by there for a month straight, there's no lights on in them at night. There's no, and so I can substantiate when the council sent me out to substantiate that complaint. I can substantiate that there's
some older guy in his undies walked out.
Freaking gun.
No, but he like passed out. My wife was driving home and saw it.
Yeah, we couldn't substantiate that they're living in there.
Same guy was out on the road with a gun chasing cars.
Yeah.
We sent him complaints. Yeah. He, like three people. Yeah. So.
But really, the town's authority comes from moving, altering a structure on site. So that's a nuisance, right? That's our biggest bat that we carry as a town. When we hold up the bat, that's what we use, is a nuisance clause.
What about like a county health department concern? I mean, that many.
The health department wouldn't get involved until there's something on the septic. So you heard Joan Hill come and talk, and she's all about bedrooms. That's what, how they regulate, not size of the house. So it's bedrooms, so.
True, but if you have an additional house, then there's an issue.
Yeah, there is. And I can tell you the health department is perfectly fine to sit there and let us take a bullet in the forehead. So if we initiate something, they'll get behind us, but they are not going to initiate.
So we need pictures or what?
Yeah, what do you need to prove? I've got a drone.
You better be careful with that drone. You're in a flight restricted area by the airport, so.
Just keep it low. It might get shot down. But.
Also, is there anything we can do to look at police reports? Because the police were all in those back areas. They've been out at least 3 or 4 times in the last few weeks.
Yeah, and it's really weird because even looking back up at that Riley's.
Yeah.
So we grammar requested the police reports.
Two.
That's all they could produce. Well, we know, but we don't know. We've been told that many people have called the police on there, but apparently there was never a report filed. So if they are getting called, they need to request a report so that we're able to track that, because two is all that pulled up.
So can I request that report? Is that, like, would that help if I request it?
If there's a violation over there and you've called the sheriff?
Okay.
Yes, then
I'll tell the people.
If you just call and complain, they're not going to file a report, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Naturally. They'll show up. Okay, no big deal. You know, turn down your music, they leave. No report filed.
Okay.
So if there's a complaint, then we need to get those reports filed. We have a hard time because, look, the Bill of Rights protects people, right? That's what it's there for, to keep those people safe from you guys. That's what it's there for. And so everybody has their rights. The Bill of Rights is so that you can't take those rights. And that's your constitutional rights. That's what it's for. So we have to be pretty careful how we go about this as we enforce our codes and ordinances. And that's why we have attorneys, right? That sets the bar where we have to be.
Okay. File complaints.
Question. Everett Circle is kind of the land of large buildings. What is the maximum height of a barn
35
here
feet.
In Daniel?
Depends on the zone you're in, but 35 feet in RA5 zone.
Feet, okay.
Yeah, depends on what zone you're in. There's different requirements for each zone. So I think it's 40 foot in the commercial zone. So
thanks.
And square footage on an ag building?
20% coverage on the wall.
Yeah.
So all your buildings can't cover more than 20%. If you're on 40 acres, it can be pretty darn big. If you're on 1 acre, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if you look at cost per square foot, it's still quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of questions, you guys.
Okay, let's move on to the approval of events. Did everyone have a chance to look at that?
Yes.
Yes.
So
okay.
Did that come back through? So I made some
corrections
on that.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Okay, because I noticed one of them didn't come through on this one that's in my packet.
I know, because we were discussing it, and it was specifically said Park City, so we didn't know if we should change that. That's why. Is that the one?
So when I said that before, and then somebody else said Park City.
Oh, okay.
So. That's why that changed.
Okay, I can change it.
And I didn't know if that would kick back to you when I did that.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Okay. And I think it should have kicked back to everybody,
right?
That's
awesome.
Did everybody see those minutes that she sent out for approval and then I made some changes? It should have kicked back to everybody that was on the.
I
didn't check it.
I think I saw that.
Okay.
They couldn't open it because it's had a new app.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask about that.
And I opened the app, and then it said I needed a password.
Right. So when it asks that, just close it back out and go back in, and it'll let you in.
So can we?
Oh.
Yeah, it's.
Does Daniel have Microsoft
applications
that we can have access to?
I do not know that.
Might be ask Megan. Yeah.
Okay.
It or Mary.
You can do it on your iPad.
A roundabout way.
Yeah, I think you end up with a Word compatibility mode through the email because you have
Outlook,
Microsoft Office. So I was able to open it up. It opens it in Word, but don't really have Word on the iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah, use everything PDF.
Yeah, it's just the email.
the word format.
And please.
Got a SharePoint account.
And please be careful, we did get some viruses just a little while ago that came in. Looked pretty legit, but you had to notice the email that it came from was not correct, so. They were actually developer we're working with, but the email was a little different. And we did get a virus, and we caught it and it was fixed, but it did hit the down computers. So just be careful when you're opening those. Make sure that you look at it and realize that this is something that you should. Right, because your list now is on the website, right? Everybody has access to your information. Because your name's right there in big and bold on the website. It's a planning commission member, so. Just be wary of that.
I had a change on page 4.
Okay.
Commissioner Horton moved to deny the zone change request. I'm pretty sure you were said to recommend.
Recommend.
Denying the zone change. You guys recommended the council to deny the zone change request.
I could see Byron denying his own request.
He probably did and then went back and corrected it himself.
Yeah, it could have done. But we tried to be correct on those.
It's a 50-50 every time.
Is it always recommend to deny?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 50-50.
Except when it's not.
Tonight, like the CUP, it stops here. It's a land use application.
Okay.
That stays at this one. So yeah, it's always not.
Thank you. I'm still trying to.
Okay. Have motion to approve minutes.
Just a vote, right? Straight to the vote?
Oh, sorry.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, call for the vote.
McGinn abstain.
Long, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Gamble, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries. As untrained as we are, we don't need any training tonight.
Just look over what she sent you because of.
It's nice to have it all inside.
I'm glad you guys didn't bring that up because there wasn't the time to look at that code in concept.
Yeah.
It's not the time to look at the commercial code, it's a concept. So
yeah.
I'm glad you guys didn't bring that up because it's like, don't get buried in this because we're at concept.
This is a concept.
Yes.
I do have something on this though. So in the small scale is businesses occupying under 40,000 square feet. And then you go down to large scale, and it says large scale means businesses that occupy up to 40,000 square feet.
Above.
It's saying the exact same thing. The large scale needs to be businesses that occupy over 40,000 square feet.
But we're a small town, so maybe it's 10,000.
Whatever it is. I'm just saying this says the exact same thing as that. There's no differentiation.
And the reason that's there is because if you go to large scale, then we start requiring soil sampling, all of the engineering that goes into large scale. If you stay under 5 lots, you're okay. But if you get bigger than 6 lots, the engineering fees go through the roof, the requirements that we have.
So that's intentional that it's, okay.
Yes.
Right on.
So it'll say small scale and large scale, and those are divided in the zones and the impact they have.
But for us, it's the same. There's only one scale.
No, there's not. There should be two. Like you said, the bottom one.
Okay, so it should change. It should change, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, it should change over 40,000. And again, we adopted that from the county. That's not a number we came up with.
40,000?
It is.
Okay.
There might be something this.
Number 11.
Make
a motion. We adjourn.
Aye. Again, yes.
Long, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Jones, yes.
Yeah, you don't have to second it, though.
Maybe you're...
Yay.
I'm going home.